Shalom, precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. Welcome to the news portion of our program. I'd like to start off with a scripture tonight in Ephesians 5, verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Well, we're going to do a little bit of that tonight in the news. Tonight's report is both shocking and heartbreaking. And let me add, heavily researched. And it's about a false flag event that went awry. Thank God, but a serious wake-up call for all of us. What exactly is a false flag, you might ask? Well, the definition is a horrific staged event blamed on someone else, usually a political enemy, and then used as a pretext to start a war. Does 9/11 come to mind? A false flag is also when a government wants to enact draconian measures in the name of national security, like the Patriot Act or martial law, which our government recently had a practice run in Boston. Remember, everything was closed and no one could leave their houses or use their phones? Many experts believe that the Obama administration is eager to do another, much bigger false flag, like a recent one that, thanks to some honorable soldiers, stopped from happening. In September, an anonymous tip came to Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who then warned his people that terrorists who wanted the United States to attack Syria had intercepted some nuclear warheads that were secretly, and with no paper trail, being trucked from storage at the Dyess Air Force Base in Texas, heading to the shores of South Carolina, that would then be transported via ship to another secret location. Well, thankfully, there was no explosion on the shores of South Carolina, thank God. But there was an explosion about 600 miles out from the Charleston shore in the Atlantic Ocean on October 8th. You can check the news internet for that. However, it was reported as a 4.5 earthquake. Experts in the earthquake business, though, say it could not have been an earthquake, for there were no P waves or any rumbling that occurs just prior. Well, soon after this explosion, it was reported that President Obama did an unprecedented ousting of America's top two military nuclear commanders, Admiral Giardina and General Kerry, and two of the U.S. Marines' top officers, Major General Gonganis and Major General Sturtevant. And now we know there have been even others. Now, they insist they were ousted by Obama due to their being the officers responsible for leaking the information about this impending nuclear attack on Charleston. They told Generals Gonganis and Sturtevant, who then in turn began leaking this information to various global intelligence sources. No, not our American news. But it was in France's highly respected ddefensa.org. And I'd like to read just a couple paragraphs from the eutimes.net from October 12th. It said, a shocking intelligence report is circulating in the Kremlin today, which states that President Obama, while in a rage, ousted four of the United States' top-ranking military officers after they refused to detonate a nuclear device in or near Charleston, South Carolina, this past week. And instead, they exploded it off the Atlantic coast. And that's right out of that paper. While Admiral Giardina and General Kerry were the first to note Obama's transferring of nuclear weapons to Charleston outside of the normal chain of command, experts say in this report that Generals Gonganis and Sturtevant were tasked with leading U.S. Marine troops from Camp Lejeune to North Carolina to begin the implementation of martial law after this false flag attack had taken place. So they are being whistleblowers. Equally important to note is that even an earlier warning of this false flag attack was also given in August by South Dakota Senator Songstad, who warned of the unprecedented actions being taken north of the Carolinas in FEMA. It's actually FEMA Region Number 3, which is north of the Carolinas and includes Washington, D.C., in preparation of an attack. Okay, so this is what happened. They had 9 weeks training course for UN peacekeepers to learn urban warfare, better English, and U.S. weapons for 386,000 troops, and it had to be completed by October 1st. With many suspicious deliveries to be made before October to FEMA's Region 3, which I said is the area just north of the Carolinas, so they'd be close. And here's what they included. They included $11 million worth in antibiotics, over 14 million of MRESs, which is some emitter simulators, and heater meals, as well as 22 million pouches of emergency water. It is reported that FEMA also purchased orders for over $13 million, again, for MRESs and heater meals to be delivered to Austin, Texas by October as well, and to be delivered to the Department of Homeland Security, 2,800 MRAPs, which are mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles. In other words, these huge vehicles that can tell where there's a mine, M-I-N-E, planted. And that doesn't cover any of the foreign troops that have been here for training from Russia, China, France, and who knows from where else. In other words, those who hold no allegiance to Americans. All this is just more proof we really are living in the end times and how corrupt and heartless this government is. Of course, we're headed up by a ruthless wannabe dictator. But let me add, he's not working alone. This is an organized, highly intelligent web determined to weaken America while stripping us of our freedoms to usher in the New World Order. How's the saying go? Out of chaos comes order. Okay, well, that's certainly enough yuck for tonight. Be happy because you know Jesus is coming soon. And I welcome your comments. You can reach me by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. And let me know if you'd like to be added to our send list for our newsletters and occasional updates. Also, this coming Thursday, I'll be speaking in Mentor at the Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at 7 p.m. And always with a timely end-of-days message. Finally, it really is just you that keeps this program on the air. So pray and ask the Lord what you can do. And a reminder, we are tax-deductible and we're getting to the end of the year. May the Lord bless you and keep you for keeping this end-of-days ministry and helping it. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Baruch Hashem Adonai Shalom Chavarim, which means, blessed be the name of the Lord, peace to our friends, welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. You'll definitely need your Bible, pen, and paper tonight to take some notes, as you students will enjoy the remaining hour of learning God's Word on eschatology. First, before we start, I would like to pray to our Father in Heaven. Abba, we bless you. We thank you for your great salvation you've given us, for Yeshua, for the opportunity once again to declare your word, over these airwaves, and to lift up your word over these airwaves, and to expose things and explain prophecies. It's a great honor to be able to do this. We get a lot of prayer requests, Lord, and you know that. They come in mail, email, in all sorts of ways, by phone. And a lot of these requests are people that believe in you, people that trust in you for their salvation, that have vehicles that won't run, or they're on their last leg, as they say. And Lord, we just want to lift up these Christian people, these people of yours who need reliable transportation, Lord, whatever it takes for them to be able to drive where they need to drive to. We just ask you tonight that you provide those means for them, whatever it may be, if it's money to fix the car or whatever. But we trust you, and we know you're a big God, and you can even fix cars, too. I've seen it happen. And I also want to lift up to you, Lord, the loved ones of those who are listening for salvations and for repentance. And we ask you these things, and we bless and we pray to you in the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Mighty name.
Thank you, John, and shalom, shalom to you. Just want to tell the people the phone lines are open should you have a comment or an end time question. The number is 888-677-WORD.
And
888. Let me say it twice.
Okay.
888-677-WORD.
And if you don't want to be on the air, you can always tell our nice guy producer, Derek, and he will just relay the message to us.
Well, that's true, because, you know, some people just don't like being on the radio. They get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the listeners named, I'll just say her first name was Pat, and she called me raving about the Three Hebraic Roots DVDs teaching that she purchased off of the web. And that she just learned so much from them. So I said to her, well, I said, well, why don't you call in and let other people hear that so it's not just me always saying it. And she goes, oh, no way. I'm not going to be on the air. That just makes me really nervous, she said. But if you can go ahead and tell them what I said. So there you have it.
Mm.
So basically, if you want to get some basic teaching to help you understand Scripture more fully, especially eschatology, just call my office, and the number is 440-834-9006. And you can order them.
Mm-hmm. Order them on our webpage.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? I think you're free to copy them, too. But we'll get into that.
Yes. I don't care. And remember, all these radio teachings are archived on the webpage. And they're all labeled, so you can go and glean a wealth of information. And it's for free. Don't have a computer. All the libraries are equipped and will assist you if you need help.
Yeah, and if you have a friend or family member, they can copy them on a CD for you.
That's right.
Some people like to do that, believe it or not. And I want to remind you, too, they're not. This isn't copyrighted material, we want you to pass it along.
I do.
Share it.
But anytime you want to send an offering, that'd be great, too.
Yes. Yeah. We love offerings are always appreciated and welcome. Okay, tonight we have a really cool subject, and some people claim it's hard to understand.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to teach, too. Let me tell you that.
Okay, well, we trust the Lord is going to open our ears and our hearts to this that we can get it. And
since it's been over 3 years, I thought it's probably timely, especially today. And it's the book of Daniel, specifically chapters 9, 24 through 27. It's a very famous prophecy. We'll do probably a quick summary of the whole book, quick one-liners, and then hone in on that prophecy that a lot of people don't understand, and it really makes a difference because I actually thought that we were going to go through part of the tribulation until I studied Daniel 9, 24 through 27, and I realized that we can't be here for Daniel's 70th week. So that's what we're going to explain. And again, it can be somewhat difficult, but don't feel bad because it's just as hard to teach it. So, but you got to stay focused.
Sheila, I do really marvel at this amazing book of prophecy, this Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
This particular section is pivotal in understanding the end times.
I think so.
Yeah, it's pivotal. And it's in the Tanakh, too.
That's right, the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Like the book of Revelation of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
Daniel I would call an apocalypse of the Old Testament. Just like 1 John calls us, the bride, the beloved, Daniel is the only prophet who is called his beloved.
Wow.
In the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? And with all the books of the Bible, a balanced approach to Hebraic roots has really helped me to see how the whole Bible has a tightly engineered theme, actually. It's a message system. You know, remember how we taught the seven letters in Revelations and Revelation and integrated it into Paul's letters and the seven parables of Matthew 13? It was integrated. It's a unique structure and detail. Even though it's got many authors, 40 mm-hmm. different authors, it's only one architect, the Holy Spirit.
That's really cool. And should you choose to look at this, those Paul's letters and how they integrate into Revelation 7, the seven letters, you can look for that on our webpage too, right?
Yeah, I think it is on there. But also, the main thing is, it's your choice as to how much you want to find. It's just your choice.
Well, you should choose that because, like we always say on this program, this is from Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory, which means splendor or honor of God, to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings, and that's us, is to search it out.
And do you remember where it says we are kings and priests?
Yes, it says it in many different places.
It's particularly Revelation 1.
Revelation 1, okay.
Now, when you find a gold nugget, I'm telling you, I get so excited. It's like I get high on the Word of God. And it's not matching to any other, even in my past life.
like just, floating on a cloud,
it's
maybe?
Better, yes. Oh. It's better than anything.
Wow.
So, anyway, again, it's evidences of integrity of design and really does demonstrate an origin from outside the domain of our time. It's just very rewarding.
So you should study.
Yeah, you have to choose.
You have to choose to pursue this, yes.
Mm-hmm. So now let me ask you a question, John.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you'll remember this, but if I were to ask you which book of the Bible prophetically describes the church age, what would you say?
I would say the part in Revelation about the seven churches, or that's chapters, 2 and 3?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. It describes it from the beginning of Ephesus all the way to Laodicea, which is where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
Full swing, actually, Laodicea, I'd say.
They're the sleepy church, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, if I asked you what book prophetically covers Jewish history, you might have a little harder time, but do you remember what the answer is?
Yes. It's Jewish history, past and future.
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 Mm-hmm.
And that would be Ezekiel.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And what particular book prophetically describes Gentile history as it affects Israel?
That, of course, would be the book of Daniel.
Of course. And remember, this is all done in advance, which is just amazing in itself. And people that say they just don't believe the Bible, I go, why? Who else could have written as much as the Bible has way in advance?
I mean,
before for future. It's just, no one else could have done it.
Prophecy sets the Bible apart from all the other religious or holy documents out there.
It's a solid argument for those who really don't think the scriptures were God-ordained. I definitely believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Just solid. It's as timely as tomorrow's news. Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially concerning each empire after, the one, it would tell you the next one, and the one after that, and the one after that. I mean, who could do that? And then, of course, the Roman Empire was last, and we're going to see that in Daniel as well.
Is that where we are now?
Not yet.
Not yet, but we will be.
The Roman Empire was past. Now the revived Roman Empire is it's underground, but it's there, I guess
okay.
You could say.
Yeah, waiting in the wings, maybe?
To have its full power shown.
Okay.
But, we're going to look at the 10 toes of the statue in Daniel chapter 2. We'll see the 10 horns of chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're going to really hone in on chapter 9, verses 20, 6 through 27. Actually, it starts in 24.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to hone in on the 26 and 27. And that's a very important key when looking at who the Antichrist is going to be.
Okay. So, listeners, you'll be really greatly benefited when you get the rest of this prophecy, this Bible knowledge. And this book has to be in your study.
If you like prophecy, you have to understand this.
This is, yeah. If you're doing prophecy, this is the one you have to really work hard at. And you have to focus and concentrate, too.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But it is the most authenticated. But a very important thing to remember is it's in the Old Testament, so it's confirmed by the Septuagint, which, of course, means Latin for 70, and that's the translation from Hebrew into Greek, because Greek was the spoken language, even by the Jews, because of Alexander the Great. So, some critics, because of Daniel's accuracy, says Daniel had to be written after the fact, but they lose that argument. Why,
yeah.
John?
Why? Because it's all been verified by the Greek translation. It was a translation of the Tanakh, and it was done in between 285 and 270 B.C., in about 5 years, by 72 elders of Israel.
That's right. So it was all planned out by God that he would do it that way, because he knew that they would try to say Daniel was written later.
Mm-hmm.
I think God is pretty smart, don't you think?
I think so. Because even the New Testament quotes are taken from the Septuagint, the Greek Septuagint.
Many of them are.
And a lot of times your Bible will have it will be Septuagint in the Old Testament and Septuagint in the New Testament, or is it from another source in the Old Testament?
Say that one more time.
your translated Bible, our translated Bibles, I know they're translated in from the Greek in the New Testament, but the Old Testament is translated from the Hebrew. But some people's Old Testaments, aren't they translated from the Septuagint?
I don't know.
Oh, that would be my question.
Okay. Well, you can find out the answer and let me know. Okay. But in my opinion, I feel the New Testament was originally written in Greek because God desired for the Gentiles to be able to read it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And no other book has been as vindicated by the history that followed it than Daniel. Now, I just want to read something out of the historian Josephus from way back then. He said, during Alexander's conquest of Jerusalem, now that was in 332 B.C., the high priest Jaddua actually showed Alexander the Great descriptive references specific only to Alexander the Great. I would guess that it's probably Daniel 11. But he knew it was written hundreds of years before. So Jerusalem was spared because of it.
Yeah, because he was mystified by that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He saw himself in history.
Yeah, and Isaiah did the same thing with Cyrus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
That's enough. Talk about a testimony. Hey, here you are in the Bible right here.
That's right. He did
that's
that.
A witness
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Isaiah did the same thing. It's just amazing.
That is amazing.
But, of course, the ultimate authentication is Jesus quotes Daniel and declares Daniel is the writer, calling him Daniel the prophet, astonishing and holding the Jews accountable to know his writings.
And if they are accountable to know his writings, how about us?
Well, yeah. And, you know, in Matthew 24:15 and Mark 13:14, when Jesus was asked the question concerning the end times, he told them to understand Daniel.
Yeah, because the New Testament had not been written yet.
That's true. We had to keep that in mind.
So that was the go-to book for prophecy.
Right.
According to our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
At the time.
Say, we're going to have to take a break here in a second. But first, I'm going to read this little paragraph because it's interesting information. And then I think we'll go to a quick break and a song, okay? First of all, when did Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, conquer Jerusalem? John, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was...
do you remember that?
Yeah, sure. I was very young at the time. It was in 606 B.C.
And Nebi, which I like to nickname him, and Nebi returned home with a group of royal captives from Jerusalem, including a young man named Daniel. And these Jewish captives were to be trained in all of the wisdom of this very pagan empire so that they could eventually serve as royal advisors.
Yeah, so Nebi knew. They had to be smart.
Yeah, he knew that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel distinguished himself by his exemplary character, his wisdom, and the tremendous prophetic gifts which God had bestowed upon him. And as a result of these prophetic abilities, Daniel was elevated from the position of basically a captive slave to become the first prime minister of this great Babylonian empire, which ruled the known world. That's quite an achievement.
That is, and it's just like Joseph in Egypt.
That's right. That's right.
It's a Joseph story.
God just likes to do this kind of stuff.
He does.
Brings I'm totally the least likely things to occur.
That's right.
You know?
And he chooses the captivity in Babylon, too, to really, really open up the scriptures for us.
Mm-hmm. So I think we'll take a quick break. We're going to play a song. And when we come back, then we will get in a little deeper.
Okay.
What's the song we're going to do tonight?
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Okay, Derek, choose one. Derek, I don't care.
Derek, pick one.
In the day, in the day, in the day.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I bet you thought that wasn't us, but that's a cool song.
I really like that. It's actually a reggae song.
It is.
Yeah.
Soon and Very Soon. It's done by Brenda Fossey. Excellent song, and it's really anointed, I think.
I think so. I love it.
And guess who picked it? That was Derek, our producer.
Thank you, Derek. Good choice.
Picked that one out for us. Welcome back, and do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church group? Well, hey, all you got to do is email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006, and please leave a detailed message.
Right, and that's the office phone number. It's not the radio station.
Yeah, don't get those two confused. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And by the way, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you would, if you like this program and if you are being blessed, that's important, and if you learn from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps even a monthly sponsor.
That's right. And you can also pray for us as well. If you would like advertising for your company on this program, we do that.
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Mm-hmm. Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, or on our web homepage. There is a Partner With Us button down there on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, and colorful, too. So include your email or your house address, okay?
That's right.
All your newsletters, I was going to say that, all newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived at shofarministries.net. So don't forget about that. There's recorded teachings there as well, as we've got a testimony from you, from your someone who ordered them and was very happy with them. The Hebrew Roots 101, is that what the one she got? Okay, that's a good one. And the phone lines are open. Just wanted to remind you of that. Comment or question on the book of Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 9, I guess we should say tonight, the subject. So that number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Toll free. And tell them about what's going on this Thursday.
This Thursday I'll be out in Mentor. If you know anyone that lives out in that area and they want to stop and see me, I'll be at Lakeshore Assembly of God. That's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard.
What time do you start?
I start at 7.
Okay.
Okay.
And remember, the first Friday of every month, mark that on your calendars. We're at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road or Route 306, either one. Right. It's the same thing. And that's in Chesterland, close to both freeways, 271 and I-90. And right. We begin with Messianic worship right at 7 p.m.?
Yep.
Okay.
After the calling of the shofar.
After we, yes.
All right. So come on out and see me blow the shofar.
Yeah, you do that really well. As a matter of fact, in the beginning of the program, that's actually you.
It is.
That's a recording of you.
I did it originally many years ago, actually. And I haven't been able to do better, so I'll just leave it.
I think you could.
All right. Let's do a quick overview of the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. Again, the dates are 605 B.C. to 536 B.C. And although not readily apparent in English, the book is divided into two sections, plus an introduction. Chapter 1 is written in Hebrew and forms the introduction to the book to include Daniel's famous diet plan. I've gone on that diet. It works very well.
Hmm.
Chapters 2 through 7 are written in Aramaic, the language of Babylon. And it writes of events in and involving Babylon. And then chapters 1 through 7 are all written in the third person. Chapters 1 through 6 are very easy to understand, even for children.
So, you can read them to your children.
That's right. Now, chapters 8 through 12 were written in Hebrew, narrated in the first person, and concerns visions and prophecies relating to Israel and future Gentile kingdoms. Now, these are a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of history, and the prophecies are a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, can be done.
Chapters
2 and chapter 7 contain visions of four more coming world kingdoms. And then chapters 3 and 6 contain testings and triumphs. Chapters 4 and chapter 5 contain stories of the pride and fall of Babylonian kings. The prophecies of chapters 8 through 12 are explicit in laying out the future of the world and Jewish nation, including time periods, which we'll see. And, of course, one of the greatest prayers of intercession is found in chapter 9.
Hmm.
So I think, basically, after the introduction in chapter 1, we have the two sections, the Aramaic section, chapters 2 through 7, and the Hebrew section, chapters 8 through 12. And maybe you could just give kind of like a one-liner for each of the chapters.
Okay.
You do that?
Sure. Chapter 2, the great image, and that would be of the statue. Chapter 3, the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. Chapter 4, the pride and fall of Nebuchadnezzar, as well as his repentance. Chapter 5, the handwriting on the wall. I remember that one. Fall of the empire by Medes and Persians. Chapter 6, the plot against Daniel and the den of lions, of course. Chapter 7, the four beasts. And they're the same as that statue, but the way God sees that prophecy, he sees those nations as ugly beasts.
That's right. Yeah. Where Nebuchadnezzar saw it as, a man would want to see a gold, statue.
But, well, the Hebrew section starts with chapter 8. And by the way, the Aramaic was more the common language.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, everybody spoke Aramaic. So now this part is strictly in Hebrew. Chapter 8, the vision of the ram with the two horns, representing, I guess, Medes and Persians, and then the goat, which represented Alexander the Great,
yes,
which refers back to that scripture you told, or that story you told about how they avoided being, Jerusalem was saved by the fellow coming out and showing Alexander's part in that.
That's right.
In that book. And chapter 9, the great prayer. And then Gabriel interrupts that prayer with a prophetic message of the 70 weeks of years. And we'll be hearing that a lot here.
Yes.
Chapter 10 is Daniel's vision of Jesus. He saw Jesus? Well, we'll have to find out, huh? Chapter 11, the descriptive message of upcoming leaders like the Seleucids and the Ptolemies, and as well as Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist.
That's right. It's an amazing, amazing chapter.
And then finally, chapter 12, prophecies of the end days.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And next week we'll probably go especially over that too, the 1335 days to the end. And it's very difficult for some, but we're going to do that next week. Hopefully we can get through Daniel 9, 24 through 27 tonight, and if we don't, we'll finish it next week as well.
Okay.
But in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, Daniel was told to him by the angel Gabriel a prophecy thought difficult by many, especially since it was sealed for centuries, only to be understood in the latter years. So for the last maybe 100 or 200 years, it's started to be understandable. And I might add, this is one, as I said earlier before the break, one of the reasons that I changed my thinking, that there's no way that we're going through any part of the tribulation, as well as many other reasons, but this has been one of it. So, some background. While Daniel was taken to Babylon with the other captives, his contemporary, the prophet Jeremiah, continued to prophesy to the remainder of the Jewish people living under the Babylonian army. Not all of them left for Babylon,
right.
But the ones that left were under the army of occupation, but still in Jerusalem.
With a leader appointed by Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah declared that the whole land of Israel shall be a desolation and an astonishment and shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. And that you can read about in Jeremiah 25, verse 11.
Hmm.
Now, as a captive in Babylon in 538 B.C., Daniel was reading this prediction of Jeremiah. So he knew that the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity would end within 2 years in 536 B.C. And he began to pray and ask God to reveal to him the future then of the Jewish people. He wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold.
He wanted to know prophecy.
Yes. While he was interceding on behalf of his people and Jerusalem, God answered his prayer by sending his angel Gabriel to give him skill and understanding about the future course of history.
Hmm.
So.
That's cool. Daniel, and he's called the Beloved.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to know what's in the future.
It's also interesting that Daniel is the only prophet that doesn't have anything bad said about him. Everybody else is, you know, honest about what their problems are and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel had nothing said bad about him. And I think he's kind of a type of the bride.
Yes.
I really do. The Beloved.
The Beloved.
And remember, John represents the bride, and he was the apostle that Jesus loved.
Yes. And what about...
Now, we know he loved them all, but yet that was a title for John.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah, and that's very cool. And it seems like Beloved and being Beloved and wanting to know more and understand more about God and goes together. Those two things go together.
Yes. He saw his heart.
Yeah.
And you know, people, God sees your heart as well. If you're really longing for him, he will help you to find him more deeply.
He will help you. Will he send you the angel Gabriel, though?
Well, we have to be careful of that.
Well, I think Daniel...
God can do anything, though.
He can.
Visions and dreams in the last days, so... We just have to be discerning, of course.
Right.
But anyway, let's go back to Daniel. He received one of the most amazing visions ever given to man. And it was called the vision of the 70 weeks of years foretold to the precise day when the Messiah would be presented as king.
And we know that's the Palm Sunday that he rode in, right?
Right. That was the only day that he allowed them to hail him as king.
Right.
Okay. And it was to fulfill prophecy, Zechariah 9:9, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and...
And the Pharisees, and I think, were telling him, the Sadducees were telling him, don't sing this psalm. They were singing the Hosanna psalm because it was specifically for the king.
Yeah.
And, you know, we thought about this the other day, and my wife seemed to think maybe some of the Jewish leadership did know who he was.
Hmm.
And didn't want to acknowledge it.
Well, it's possible.
You know,
it's possible. I think that's still today, don't you?
I think so. It could be. It could be.
There are some underground Jewish believers, yes. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
but
so.
I think some of them might have really known who he was, and they didn't want to shake up things with Rome.
That could be.
I mean, just a guess.
It's just a guess. We weren't there, so we don't know for sure.
No, we don't.
But anyway, then the Messiah would be rejected and cut off.
Okay, and that's killed.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be that same week. And then this prophecy looks forward about 2,000 years to his second coming to set up his everlasting kingdom. And we will talk about this gap in between his being executed or hung on the cross to when he returns as king. There's a gap. Of time.
I would say so. It's been nearly 2,000 years
The church age.
This is an unusual prophecy because the time element for his first coming is given so specifically and clearly. It's almost. And I just want to say this too. If you're having trouble understanding why we're calling weeks years and years weeks, etc., etc., the word in Hebrew just means a period of seven,
and it can
mean week. And it can mean
weeks of years.
Weeks of years.
Not a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which in this case, of course, it does because it's been a long time. So hindsight is 20/20 on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Really.
Yeah.
But Daniel 9, 24 through 27 provides all these details that we just mentioned.
Mm.
So we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to go over it briefly, and then next week we'll start with this right away and do the rest of Daniel, probably.
Okay.
Time goes by so fast.
Talk about these 70 weeks.
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it as simple as I can. Verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined for your people. Now, 70 weeks of years comes to 490 years. I'll just say that right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are going to be done in these 490 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now we know there's going to be a gap.
Right.
But anyway, these are the things. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Now, of course, we know that that has not been done yet. When he comes back, all these things will be done.
Oh, yeah, especially to bring in everlasting righteousness.
Right.
You're talking about the kingdom.
Yes.
The millennium. The seventh.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Yeah. So, verse 24, that you can set this aside for now, and because that's will be totally fulfilled when Jesus returns after the tribulation.
Okay?
So now we go into verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. So in other words, there is a command that Artaxerxes in 445 BC made that actually said, now go and finish the city, do the walls and everything, where the other commands were always go build the temple.
Right.
So this was like the third decree, and it was about the walls specifically. And this was in 445 B.C., and it was figured out that it was actually on the Gregorian calendar on March 14th.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that again.
Okay.
So also Nehemiah 2, verses 5 through 8 is where Artaxerxes makes this decree. Okay? So once again, 25 says, when this decree is made, that's when the clock starts ticking for this 490-year prophecy.
So this is saying basically that the king of Babylon, which is at this point Artaxerxes, is telling the Jewish captives, and you're free to go and rebuild your city. Is that what this command is talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it continues on in verse 25. Again, from that decree, until the Messiah, the prince, there will be 7 weeks, which is how long it takes 49 years to do the city, plus 62 weeks, which equals 69 weeks or 483 years for the Messiah to show up.
Hmm.
And that's really what it's saying here.
Okay.
So this leaves 7 years left, because at the time when the Messiah shows up, and I'm jumping ahead because we're going to have to stop, but when the Messiah shows up, as we know, he's going to be executed, as this will say, and then the clock stops for the church age.
Okay.
And it won't pick it up again until verse 27, when the Antichrist signs that decree. And then the last 7 years begins to finish that prophecy.
Okay.
But I think we only, let me see.
Out of the 70 weeks, now we just discussed the first 69 of them.
That's right. 483 years till Messiah comes.
Okay.
And in verse 26, it begins by, and after the 62 weeks and the 7, which is 69 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off. And that, of course, he was crucified. But not for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's speaking of the death for you and me. Praise God. Hmm. And, again, there we have that gap.
Okay. Well, this would be a good gap to...
We have to stop it here.
Stop and put our own gap in here, I think.
But we will continue this next week and finish it for sure, and then go into some other prophecies.
Yeah, so we will be back sooner than 2,000 years. We'll be right back here next Tuesday, right?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Alive.
All right. Hey, if you're listening to us tonight, this is the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I got to ask you, is Jesus Lord of your whole life? Are you saved? Do you really know him personally, or just maybe you have the head knowledge? And
A lot of head knowledge people out there.
A lot of head knowledge. You know, sin is real, and its consequences are real. you might not get punished too badly for it, but you might. And there's only two places to go after you die, and you really need to decide where you need to go, where you want your soul to go. It's eternal. So how you can do that is simply just wherever you are right now, you can pray. And it really helps if you get on your knees.
That's right.
Seriously. And repent of those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage and they're weighing you down. And then after you do that, commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. And
right. It's
your choice to do that. And we're praying that you make that choice.
Right. And
tonight.
Then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For judgment is very near. Now, John, could you give the Aaronic blessing from number 622 in his perfect language?
I'd be happy to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha, v'yasim lecha shalom.
Boy, that's a beautiful sound. I just love the sound of Hebrew. No wonder it's his perfect language. And it said, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And remember, mark your calendars, first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center, and this Thursday as well. Until next week, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And that's not maybe, and that's Psalm 122:6.
I was supposed to say that. Shalom to next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.